Please open your Bibles this morning to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word, as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. Let's pray. Holy Father, we come before you this morning and we bow. We bow as servants and stewards. We bow before you, Father, knowing that we answer to you. I pray this morning as we look into your word that you would allow me to be a faithful steward to this church and of your word as I proclaim it. Father, help me, Lord, to abide by what you have said, not by my own desires, not by my own thoughts, but by the word of God as it has transformed my way of thinking, as it transforms my desires. Strengthen me, Father, and strengthen those who hear. Father, as your word is preached, it should cause us many different things. It should cause us to be convicted. It should uplift us. It should bring us to repentance. It should elevate the name of Christ. And it should show us your glory. Help us, Father, to see those things this morning and to react and relate to them as you have called us to. Lord, this is your morning, this is your church, and this is your word. May we subject ourselves to it as those who have been bought by a great price. It is in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord that I pray. Amen. If we live according to our sinful nature and that which, of course, the culture around us encourages, it would mean that everything is about me. The world revolves around me. The only one that I must answer to is me. This, of course, is the way of the sinful nature. This is the worldly way of thinking. The world says, I am my own king. The only thing that matters is what pleases me. My desires reign as the governing authority of my life. This could seem like an easy way to live with no outside authority. There is nothing above me. Nothing that we must answer to. I said this was easy. It may seem to many that this would be the easy way or the best way to live our lives. But in reality, this type of thinking, this type of engaging in life, it only leads to discouragement and sorrow. Not only because you will never get your own way, but because the only thing that truly brings contentment and joy into one's life is obedience to our sovereign king. We are all subjects of the king, and therefore, in his sovereignty, he assigns to us our roles, our positions, and with those, his expectations of fulfilling them as faithful stewards. The text this morning that we're looking at is actually two. Titus 1:6 and Titus 1:7. Because we're looking at the idea of being blameless. But we can't look at it. You might even ask the question, why didn't I discuss this matter when we began to preach out of verse 6? Well, the reality is that there's more to it than just thinking about being blameless. And what does that mean? But it is to be a blameless steward. That's what it's talking about. So I reserved talking about the idea that a man must be blameless in order to be qualified as an elder, because there's so much context behind it. There's so much reality to a man's life that would qualify him to be an elder. But it means to be blameless in that, in what he is a steward of. So when we think about being blameless, let's just look at some definitions here for a moment so that we understand as we go along what we are talking about. So blameless is, it would mean to be not blameworthy, unaccused, irreproachable. However, it does not mean perfection. It does not mean that the individual is perfect in all that he does, or that everything that he is a steward of turns out just as he thinks it should, or even as God has called it to come to. It is that he is faithful in holding up to his responsibilities. It means that a man must be faithful to his calling. And I say a man, but it is all of us. If you are a child of God, we are all called, according to the Word of God, to those specific areas, those specific roles, those specific offices in regard to being an elder or even a deacon. There are very specific requirements, very specific responsibilities. And we're going to talk about this a lot more as we go through this morning. Again, we won't be able to exhaust everything that we could talk about in relation to this. But to be blameless means that we are faithful. That is how we should see this, is that we are faithful to the Word of God as it pertains to that which God has assigned to us as individual members of one another and as individuals in your life, as husbands, as fathers, as parents, as employees, as employers. Wherever your station is in life, you have very particular responsibilities that are directed toward that one area. And those are the things that we need to learn to be faithful to. So what about steward? Because that's really what we're talking about, is a faithful steward, a blameless steward. A steward is one appointed by another to manage and to oversee his property, to oversee that which he, the owner, the king, has prescribed to him in that manner. So he is not of his own authority, but he works under the authority of another. So in other words, you can look at different definitions. He could be a manager. That is a steward. A manager is someone who's been given specific tasks by his boss, by the CEO of a company. And he's been given very particular responsibilities as a manager in a certain area of the company. And he is to oversee that area. And he is to do it the way, by the direction of his boss. He is a governor. He is one who governs over things. You see, if we think about all these different words that we're using here, we can realize that all of these are appointed They're all areas that we have to, that we're not born into. And they're all areas that somebody else will appoint us to. Some of you may be thinking, yeah, but I earned my position as a manager. Okay. You showed yourself to be faithful in little things, and we're going to look at that in more detail. But you've shown yourself to be faithful in little things, and therefore you've been appointed greater things. The point is that you have to be a good steward. Just like Joseph, who was a good steward of all that God laid before him in the house of Potiphar, and as the second highest ranking man in Egypt, as Pharaoh appointed him to that position. And he was a good steward of those things in the world. It is very important that we understand that we have a responsibility. The other thing we need to look at here is that this word can also, and most appropriately, is directed to a chief officer in the household of the king. Now, when we're talking about elders and them being able to steward the household of God, then we recognize that they are officers in the household of the king, of God. But I want us to realize that that doesn't mean that just elders are that. Because anyone who has been given a responsibility is a steward of God, just with a different set of responsibilities. Every steward has authority, and every steward is under authority. Because the only authority that a steward has is that which the king has appointed to him in order for him to fulfill the role that he has been appointed. A steward is not just elders, but all men are stewards of God. A steward of God is one who obeys God according to his or her own role in life. Now, even though we can see in Scripture very general commands that apply to all of us, doesn't matter. Thou shalt not kill. That is we're all being a steward to the Word of God and obeying it in a general sense. But there are also commands that are specific to each individual as it pertains to their roles, to their positions, to their place of authority in life. And we are expected by God to be faithful stewards. If you will, turn to Luke 16. We'll be looking at Luke 16, 1 through 13 as a whole. We will not cover all of it. There's a lot here. And if we were to look at every word in here, it's going to bring up a lot of questions. I am going to give basically an understanding of the whole of this passage and something that we need to consider in our own lives. So Luke 16, verse 1. He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward. And an occasion was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be a steward. These first two verses are extremely important to how we should think about our own lives, but in the context of what we are talking about, in relationship to an elder, or a deacon, for that matter, an officer of the church. The premise behind this is that that steward is accountable to the owner. And in this situation, an elder is accountable to God. If we do not understand that what we have in this world and what responsibilities we have, they are not just a responsibility, but they are all responsibilities before the King. This is why the word steward is so important. That is why it means we are faithful stewards. This man here was absolutely not a faithful steward. He wasted the things that were given to him to manage. He wasted them. He did not consider the value of the goods because he did not consider the value of his boss, of his Lord. He did not consider that. And so he squandered all the things that he was supposed to be accountable for. This is so important to us because we do this every day. We do not see every matter of life as being responsible to God for it. Every gift that he gives us, every situation that we are in has an accountability before God in how we handle it. It is not according to your own desire. You are not allowed to waste it. That's why we should manage our lives in a way that glorifies God. Now, there's a lot we could talk about in that, but we don't have time today to really get into all the different aspects of our lives. But just know this. You cannot blame another for your poor stewardship. You cannot blame the thief who broke into your house and stole everything for poor stewardship. You're responsible. And no matter how the goods are wasted, no matter how the time is wasted, no matter how the relationships are wasted, you are accountable before God. You cannot blame someone else for your poor stewardship. I'll be talking a little more specifically about that towards the end of the sermon. But skip down to verse 10. He says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches?" So the point being that as we see in Titus, we have a progression. We have the progression that he says, if a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, it is impressing upon us that a man must be faithful in the basic things of life according to how God says they should be, how they have been entrusted to him. If that is the case, then he can be entrusted with greater things. And that is the whole point of what is being said here in Titus. If a man does not have the ability to be a good steward of his life, now, again, an elder does not have to be married. He does not have to have children. But the same principle applies. If a man is not a good steward of the life that God has given him at this moment, he is not suited for eldership. Because in eldership, we are stewards of God for the household of God. If we cannot be good stewards of our own household, how can we be good stewards of the household of God? Should we all stop and repent? And I mean all of us. As I've said before, as I go through this, all it does is cause me to repent. It calls to mind all of my failures. It calls to mind all the places where I lack faithful stewardship. But that's also a part of faithful stewardship. It's acknowledging those things before God and repenting and setting to and working to set those things aright. It is not something that just happens. It is something that is worked out. Therefore, if you cannot be faithful to the unrighteous mammon, so in other words, if you can't be faithful to the common, the worldly things, things that will pass away, is what we're talking about here. So the aspect of if we can't be faithful to an unrighteous boss, if we can't be faithful to the finances that God provides, if we can't be faithful for those things, then how is it that God will trust us with true riches? What are the true riches? But things of the kingdom of God. You know, I mentioned in my introduction that the only thing that brings about true contentment and joy is the obedience to God and His Word. You see, those are true riches. True riches is joy. Is contentment. Is being able to be joyful in the midst of tragedy. That doesn't mean we don't mourn. It just means that there's place to find joy in it. Because we realize that even in times of mourning, there is a godly way of mourning. And there is a worldly way of mourning. And we can find that joy and contentment. That satisfaction. Not in the situation, but in God Himself. When we obey Him, when we are good stewards of what He calls us to. If you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? I mean, this is interesting. Interesting language. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The point being, you will either submit yourself to one or the other. You will recognize the reign of God or the reign of worldly wealth, worldly joy, worldly contentment, self-desire, or you will submit yourself. And you will be a good steward of the things that God says is of His kingdom. And that produces the fruit of the Spirit. That produces in you joy, peace, patience. It gives us a sense that our faithfulness is not that we are rewarded for faithfulness. It's that faithfulness is the reward of being good stewards of God. Our faithfulness is the fruit of recognizing that we've been bought into a kingdom that is not our own. We've been bought into a kingdom that whose king is Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, in regard to all this and being specific, an elder must be blameless. And not just blameless, but a blameless steward. A blameless steward of the faith that he has been brought into. A faithful steward of the Word of God as he has been appointed. Now listen. I have said before that to be an elder is not, an elder should not consider this a place of honor. That doesn't mean it isn't a place of honor. God tells you to honor those who He has placed over you. And I am not going against that. But what God truly appoints an elder is He does not appoint to him honor. He appoints to him responsibilities. As He appoints to a husband, as He appoints to a father, as He appoints to a wife, as He appoints to an employee, as He appoints to an employer. All of these things we have been appointed responsibilities to. We've got to get our thinking in the right direction, that we are responsible before God and we are responsible for those areas of life that God has commanded to us. So in light of elders, we have been appointed responsibilities before the King. So, referring back to Titus 1:6, he must be a blameless steward of his household. He must rule his household appropriately according to the word of God. He is responsible for his wife, a steward of her by the command of God. He is responsible for his children as a steward of them by the command of God. Now listen, men, because I'm talking to you right now. Because as I've said before, these qualifications do not only apply to those that desire eldership. These qualifications are the fruit of a mature Christian. If you are a husband, if you are a father, then you are a steward of that family. If you are a single man, you are a steward of what God has called you to be as a single man. So consider this for a moment, though, what the text is telling us. And I want you to listen very clearly, because we live in a fallen world. And guess what? Every husband who has a wife, he is a sinner. And his wife is also. So when we talk about this, we find that this is not an easy task. How am I to fulfill the responsibilities that I have for my wife? How do I fulfill the responsibilities for my children? What if my children are insubordinate? Do I just throw my hands up? Do I walk away and say, well, I don't have a chance with these kids? Not at any time can you run away from the responsibility of bringing those children to repentance. Bringing those children to see the truth of God's word, regardless to the age of your child. The same thing for a wife. Now, we've gone through these in sermons of their own, and you can go back and review those. But a husband is responsible for his wife. She's not responsible for him. She is responsible to be his helper. She is responsible to obey him. She's responsible to see herself as his steward. But what if a wife is rebellious? What if a wife is defiant? What if a wife lives according to the curse that we find back in Genesis? Does it excuse him? Does it excuse the husband from his responsibility? Consider Adam for a moment. If we were to go back and look at Genesis, we would see that when it came to the fall of mankind, Adam blamed his wife. Think about it. They came to the tree that God said, you shall not eat of this tree, for on that day you shall die. And the wife, who was deceived by the serpent, took of that fruit and ate. Then the text says this, and the man who was with her, he was there for the whole thing. She offered it to him, and he took it, and he ate it. He did not uphold his responsibility in any way before God at that moment of time, in time. Not only did he disobey God directly by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but he also failed his responsibility for his wife. How do I know that? Well, first of all, he didn't correct the issue. I actually do believe, and, you know, I may be wrong, but when I see other passages in Scripture that says that the fall of man was caused by the sin of Adam, I believe that if Adam would have upheld his responsibilities and he would have rebuked his wife in that midst of sinning, mankind would not have fallen. Because the world fell through Adam. And he didn't take his responsibility. As God came into the garden and questioned them, Adam's response to God was, "This woman you gave me." He blamed his wife. Instead of taking responsibility, he blamed his wife. A husband can't blame his wife. I don't care if she sins. I don't care if she's out of line. I don't care where she is in her walk with Christ. It's your job to direct her. It's your job to be patient and deal with the issues that God calls you to work with. To make her a beautiful and radiant bride before Christ. At no time, regardless, you are responsible. Same thing with your children. You are responsible for those children. If you cannot be responsible for your own household, you will not be responsible as a steward of God for the household of God. Because that's what an elder is. He is the steward of God. Verse 7 says, "For the bishop must be blameless, a steward of God." He is a steward of God for the household of God. As a husband is and a father is a steward of God for his household. As an elder, he is appointed as a steward of God, of the word, for the body of Christ, the Father's church. An elder is a servant of Christ. He is a steward of God. In 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. As Paul is expressing things about himself, he says, "Let a man consider us." Who's he talking about? He's talking about the apostles, the elders, those that have been set with a very specific task. He says, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ." Let's not say, consider us as co-equals with Christ. He says, consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. When I read these passages, it terrifies me. I will not lie. I am to be considered a steward of the mysteries of God. I have been set with a task to present to you, the children of God, the mysteries that are bound up in His Word. It's a fearful proposition. It is required in stewards that one be found faithful. I am to be found faithful as being a servant of Christ, a servant to my brother, as the Scripture says. A servant to one who is a co-heir to Christ. I am a servant to Him. I am to bow down before my Christ, my Lord, my King. And I am to be a steward to those things that God has proclaimed in His Word. I do not have the right. To lead this church by my own desire, but by the desire of God, just as Christ Himself did when He walked this earth and He says, I do. Christ, the second person of the triune God, said, I am not here to do my will, but the will of the Father. You see, that is what we are tasked with. Again, I want to remind each and every one of you, though I am being very specific to the call of an elder, what I am called to be, you too are called to a task of being a steward of God in your particular roles and position that God created you in, that He called you into. Do not blame another for your disobedience, for your unfaithfulness, but come to repentance. Come to repentance and seek the strength of the Spirit to make right your unfaithfulness and be faithful to those things. Now, as we look at the text, there are very specific areas that we will see through verses 7 through 9. As to those, some specific places that an elder must be faithful to, that he must be a faithful steward of. And so, we're not going to go through all those. Because those are going to be detailed over the next few weeks. Several weeks, if you will. Maybe you think I'm going too slow. The importance of understanding these things require in-depth study. They require a repetition so that we, as sinful people, have our fallen minds reminded continually and reinforced as we go through these things. And so, we'll be looking at these in detail. Although, I do want to just go through the list. And I want us to consider that for a moment as we go through this list. This is just an overview. I'm not going to elaborate on these, just for you to think about how vast this list is. And I'm going to reference also those things that are found in 1 Timothy. And remind you beforehand that all the things that are in here that are not particular to the role of an elder are applicable to all those who hold to the salvation of Jesus Christ. So here's the first thing. We're going to look at what an elder must not be. He must not be self-willed. He must not be quick-tempered. He must not be given to wine. He must not be violent. He must not be greedy for money. And from 1 Timothy, he must not be quarrelsome. He must not be covetous. He must not be a novice. He must not be double-tongued. The list of those things which an elder must be. He must be hospitable. He must be a lover of what is good. He must be sober-minded. He must be just and he must be holy. He must be self-controlled. He must hold fast to the faithful word of God. He must be able to exhort and convict those who contradict. And from 1 Timothy, he must be one who desires the position. He must be temperate. He must be of good behavior. He must be able to teach. He must be gentle. He must have a good testimony among those who are outside. He must be reverent. He must be one who's holding the mysteries, the mystery of the faith, with a pure conscience. And an elder, he must first be tested. These are all the things that he must be tested in. It's not an easy test. It's not a pass and fail. We'll talk about that more in a later sermon. But what we must understand in relationship to all of us, as I have tried to make these sermons not merely about the elders, because many of you then would say, well, what does this have to do with me? I have no desire to be an elder, or I'm a woman. The Word of God doesn't allow me to be an elder. So what does it have to do with me? It has everything to do with you. Consider this in 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as one, as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do so with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever. Amen. You see, according to this text, we are all accountable to God as stewards of the manifold grace of God. You have been granted grace unto salvation. And because of that, you are accountable as stewards to that grace. We are saved by grace, but that doesn't set us free from obeying God. It doesn't set us free from glorifying Him. As a matter of fact, it obligates us that much more. Our hearts have been transformed. Our minds are being renewed. Consider what it says here. Each one of you have received a gift. As each one has received a gift. Everyone has some gift. And if we understand this text, he says, minister it to one another as good stewards. Do you know what that word gift means? If we understand the context of this, let's review that and think about it in light of being a good steward. You've received a gift. Now minister to one another as good stewards. So let's look at it this way. Each one of you has received a responsibility. You don't receive the gift without a responsibility that goes along with that gift. You're responsible to God, and it is to be shared with the church. We are not to covet our own gift. We are not to hold it and hide it. We are to share it with grace. We don't give it to people. We don't share it because somebody deserves it, because God did not share the gift of grace, the manifold grace of God, with you and me because we deserved it. He gave it to us out of His love and compassion, and we are to share and we are to minister to one another through that same manifold grace of God as stewards of the gift that He gave us. You have a responsibility. A responsibility. Look, let's go back again. Every man should consider his wife a gift. Every man should consider his children a gift. But they are a responsibility. If you've been given the gift of having a wonderful wife, and when I say you have a wonderful wife, she's a blessing from God, regardless to how she may be acting today or tomorrow. She is a gift from God. You're responsible. You are responsible. A gift comes with responsibility. Just like the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation comes with the responsibility of honoring and glorifying God. It comes with the responsibility of repentance. Do not fool yourselves in thinking that you have no responsibility as a child of God. You have a gift. You are to share it. You are to share it with each other. Look, even what it says up here in verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. If you are someone who says, oh, I'm going to be hospitable. I'm going to invite a stranger in. I'm going to invite these people over I don't like. And you're going to complain about it the whole time. You're going to grumble. Oh my gosh, I got to do this. Oh my gosh, I got to do this. That's not hospitality. Hospitality comes without grumbling. Why? Because the people that you're showing hospitality to don't deserve your hospitality. Hospitality is a fruit of the grace, of the manifold grace of God. You see, he says that if anyone speaks, when you are speaking, we could take this and go, well, he's talking to ministers. He's talking to elders, to deacons. Well, I don't think so. I think he's talking to all of us. I think that when you speak to a brother or to a sister, first of all, as the Word of God says, you are to speak to them with grace in your heart. But here it says, when you speak to them, you have taken on a responsibility. Because you have to speak to them in truth and in love. And that truth only comes from one place, and that truth comes from the Word of God. And so therefore, when you are sharing with an individual, when you are speaking to them, when you are counseling them, when you are trying to lift them up, you do it as though you are speaking the oracles of God. What a responsibility. That's why don't be hasty. Don't be hasty to lend your opinion to each other. Don't be hasty to tell people what you think. Because you will be held accountable as speaking the oracles of God to your brother and your sister. You think it's only elders that are held accountable to those things? Oh, we just have a higher level of accountability. As I've said, the ministry does not belong to the eldership, it belongs to the church. I have a role in the ministry of this church, as well as you do. If anyone ministers, let him do so with the ability which God supplies. Be careful how you minister. You better recognize where your place is in ministering one to another, as each one of you are called to do. But do not be boasting. Do not be arrogant. But remember that what you are doing is that which God is supplying. Do not put yourself in a place that you do not belong. God has not supplied you that. Take seriously your position as a child of God and be a good steward of these things, because you are being a steward of the manifold grace of God. Because that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You see, why do we emphasize all these things, all these areas of obedience, all these responsibilities, all these, so that we do not blaspheme the Word of God, so that we do not bring low the glory of God through Jesus Christ? We cannot think that we have our own personal ability to do something outside of what the Word of God commands us to be a good steward of. We have all been given individual gifts and callings based upon different things that God has determined, both in roles and levels of authority. Whatever those may be, are governed by God's command. God governs how we are to steward these things. We are to minister to one another as God has given us grace. Failing to accept our personal responsibilities that God calls us to as individuals, and also failing to respect the calling of others and their responsibilities and authority, will turn into blaspheming the gospel of Jesus Christ. For all of these are designed for God's glory. All of these things are designed for the exaltation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Remember, it is the personal work of Jesus Christ who has established us as children of God. And in turn, we have been given the power to freely obey and serve God at the cross of Jesus Christ. And we should live in such a way that it shows that the cross of Jesus Christ was not without effect in our lives. Not just in eternity, but in our lives today. That we would reflect the true Son. That as the Son of God was obedient to the Father, we too are obedient. As the Son of God was a faithful steward to the will of the Father, we too would be faithful stewards to the Word of God. It is for the sake of the gospel. You have been bought at a price. The Son of God came into this world, took on our form, took on flesh. He lived a life that we were called to live and could not do. And He did it. He walked in perfect obedience before God. And not because of His crimes, not because of His iniquity, but because of yours and mine, He was crucified. He was convicted as a criminal. He was mocked, insulted, and humiliated. Not because of anything He had done, but because He willingly took upon Himself your iniquity, your lack of faithfulness. He took it upon Himself. And it brought death. It brought death to the Son of God in His humanity. And because the grave could not hold Him, He rose and He brought us with Him. And He laid His righteousness upon us, just as He took our sin upon Himself. And now we stand in the presence of God only because of Jesus Christ. There is nothing we can boast in, but we may honor and glorify God in being faithful stewards of what He has called us to. Let's pray. O glorious God and King, oh, how I pray this morning that we would continue to learn and to grow, to become more mature in our faith, that we would be faithful stewards of your word. Father, it is a matter of not feeling, not desire, but to look into your holy word, to see what you call us to. It is those things that we have come obedient to, and it's those things in our obedience that bring about desire and feelings. It's those things that change us and bring us complete joy. Oh, Lord, how I praise you. I worship you, my God and my King, because you are faithful to complete the work which you have began in each one of us, and that you began in the church. Thank you, Father, for this time. May you be ever glorified, Christ exalted. And me, Father, may we rest in the power of your Spirit. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.